Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thank you so much for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month, and you will see a list of guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola@yahoo.com. My regular email, if you want to get a hold of me after the program is over, email deanna@spingola.com. RBN is having some financial difficulties, and they are conducting a pledge drive. You may help by contributing to that pledge drive. Just call 800-724-2719. Please support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website, including business cards and bumper stickers. You may also subscribe to the archives at a higher rate than the usual $1.33 per month, or you may purchase some advertising if you have a product or service to sell. You can do these things by going to republicbroadcasting.org or by calling 800-724-2719. My guest today is Pam Colleen. She is an expert on addiction, something that the majority of the population has. She is the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, and also the co-author with Dr. Joseph McCullough of The Great Bird Flu Hoax. She studied nutrition and natural health for over 20 years. Her interest in nutrition and natural health stems from overcoming her own lengthy problems with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivity, something that a lot of people suffer from. Her websites are pamcolleen.com and addictionthehiddenepidemic.net/book.html and the great, just greatbirdfluhoax.com, which talks about the book that she wrote with Dr. Mercola. So, you know, we all have addictions. I know that I have a few, one of which is chocolate. But Pam's book, and I've read it several times, or read parts of it several times, is very interesting. And I hope that she can fill us in on some of the questions that we may have, particularly about the best diet. I think there's a lot of controversy about the best diet that we should be having, whether to incorporate grains. There's also the gluten factor, where a lot of people are highly allergic to gluten. They simply cannot metabolize it, and it just is hazardous to our health. All righty. Pam is with us. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, good. I have your book here in front of me, and it has a lot of post-it notes on various pages. And, you know, there are a lot of questions. And when we have talked previously, either by phone or via email, we've talked about the best diet, and you have always maintained that we do need protein in every meal. And then, of course, there are others that say, you know, we shouldn't be eating a lot of meat. It's, you know, high fat. And so I would like to talk about that, plus other things that you have spoken about. We do have to take a 3-minute commercial break, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call Get Berkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Her website is PamColleen.com, and you talk in your book, in fact, that's what I was doing during the break, was looking at some of the pages in your book, and you talk about the great change in our diet, particularly after World War II, and during the early 1950s, most women used to cook their meals from scratch. In other words, they didn't go out and buy prepared foods. And if you go to the grocery store now, you see so many, well, I would say probably 75% of the food in the grocery store is prepared.
You're right, Deanna. In fact, the middle aisles of a grocery store block our view from seeing the real food at the back of the grocery store. There are tens of thousands of processed foods sitting in those middle aisles, and unfortunately, they're just not nutritiously sound enough to keep us healthy. And I always like people to start off by imagining a little house on the prairie and the scenes in that series that showed the inside of a general store. And when you can imagine that general store, you don't see a lot of food in that store, do you? You might see maybe some candies or maybe some sugar or some flour, maybe some canned foods, but there's very small amounts of food sitting in that general store. And the reason why is because back in the 1800s, the vast majority of us lived on a farm, and we produced our own food. So we would have had pastured chicken, we would have had pastured pork, you know, grass-fed cows, we would have had raw dairy products. So that's what we know way back then. We were much healthier then than we are now. And I don't just mean physically, I'm talking about mentally as well. In fact, over the last 100 years, as we've seen this degradation of our food supply, we're actually 100 times more likely to have a mental disorder today than we were 100 years ago.
That's interesting, because a lot of the people in the medical industry would have us believe that our lifespan is much longer now than it was 100 years ago. But in my genealogical research, I have found that that's not the case. That probably the greatest illness that I found was childbed fever. And that was because of the hygiene. But a lot of people lived a very, very long time, including my own ancestors.
That's right. And I'm really glad you made that observation, because one of the most dangerous mantras that we hear today is the fact that that people believe that we are actually living longer. And when people believe that mantra, it puts them to sleep. It makes people complacent so that they don't go out and do more for their health, so they don't walk around feeling like they're the walking wounded, you know. And so, yes, indeed, if you remove the variables that killed us 100 years ago that don't kill us today, you'll find out that we're really not living that much longer. And then on top of that, you factor in the fact that we spend billions, if not trillions of dollars on our health care. And what are we getting for this? Not very much when you look around at the quality of life or the lack of quality of life in millions of people today. So, yes, if you look at infant mortality rates 100 years ago, Deanna, you know, we had about a 50% infant mortality rate, and that brought down the age, the average age of citizens 100 years ago. So, yes, people are thinking, oh, we lived on average, say, 42 years back in the 1800s. But again, that was largely due to a high infant mortality rate and poor hygiene, poor sanitation, and so on. Once we started doing more for sanitation, hygiene, once we started getting the manure off the streets, replacing horses with cars, once we started having things like central heating, that's when you start to see the lowering of infectious diseases. And, in fact, today, infectious disease only accounts for about 6.7% of all deaths, whereas chronic diseases account for over 80% of all deaths.
Wow. And, of course, the vaccine industry would like us to believe that it's because of vaccines that we no longer have so many infectious diseases, where, in fact, it has more to do with our hygiene.
Absolutely. They took all the credit for it. The vaccine industry pats themselves on the backs and they say, you know, we've gotten rid of all these infectious diseases because of our products. But indeed, many of the diseases that we vaccinate for today were actually almost all eradicated before vaccines hit the market. And that's what most consumers don't know. And I believe they should know this so that they can connect the dots to see how incredibly exploitive the pharmaceutical industry is in terms of how they market their products and how they misinform. They're very misleading in terms of how they merit their products. And unfortunately, you know, we're seeing that because we have so many thousands, I mean, face it, we have thousands and thousands of drugs on the market. The last time I looked, over 17,000 drugs on the market. And we have to say to ourselves, with this increase in availability of drugs, are we better off for it? And the question, and the answer, of course, is no, we're not better off for it. And there has to be a better way in terms of rendering good health. And our ancestors knew how to be healthy without universities, without published studies, without pharmaceutical industries. You know, so they knew how to do it just through wisdom. And I think everybody has the right to learn this wisdom.
All right. And on your website, you devote quite a lot of effort to Weston A. Price. You've listed a lot of the videos that are available on the Weston A. Price website. And there's also a downloadable PDF file, Healthy for Life, which was available in 2011, which is, 64 pages or so. And so you've given a lot of help here, nourishing a growing baby. I mean, there's just all kinds of help here on your website. And, you know, I mentioned that the diet changed so drastically after World War II. And in what way did it change, other than the food preparation? And also, talk about the introduction of various products like aspartame and fluoride and all of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting Yeah, that's what, and I like the way you worded that question, because how did it happen? And that, I think that's what a lot of people don't know, is how we've been blindsided by very clever marketing from the processed food industry. I mean, we have to remember this is an industry that represents over $4 trillion in value. It's a very, very influential industry. And so it has a tremendous amount of influence over our governments and over the media and over our universities. And that's, of course, those are the three entities that tend to spread the misinformation about good nutrition. And so the processed food industry came to be essentially after World War II, because during World War II, the technologies that were used to develop what are known now as the meals ready to eat, MREs, the technologies to develop that were developed for that reason cost a lot of money to develop, and then the machinery for those products, of course, was sitting there dormant after World War II, and so the industry said, you know, let's keep using this product and make our, or these products, and make sure that, you know, the shareholders are happy. And so they started developing these shelf-stable foods. And anyway, so initially, the women who were buying these foods, when they were surveyed, said that they felt shame and they felt guilt buying these foods. They did not like buying these foods, but they were newfangled foods. They were quite intrigued by these foods at first, but they felt shame and guilt because, of course, it took out all that love that it would take in a kitchen to prepare it from scratch. And so the food industry was in quite a conundrum, because remember, they have shareholders that they have to please, right? Mm. And so what they did was, Deanna, something very devious. They actually financially influenced all of the writers, the food writers, for the ladies' journals at the time and the newspapers at the time. And the ads and the articles were all slanted towards telling women that cooking food from scratch was beneath them and that they would be far more glamorous, far more progressive as housewives if they would buy these newfangled foods. And that's what did it right there. It was a tremendous brainwashing campaign, and women, unfortunately, and I don't want to sound chauvinistic, but men as well, bought into it. And then, of course, I was born in the 1960s, and guess what I was fed? I was fed a lot of these newfangled foods, and they were not healthy enough to sustain me. I collapsed. I got very, very sick in my 20s, and this is why I'm so concerned about the children today, is because my diet was horrible in the 1960s growing up as a kid. And I have seen this dietary degradation happen decade after decade since then. And now we're on, you know, second generation, perhaps third generation of children on these newfangled foods, and they're simply not healthy. I mean, we just had a survey here in London, where I live, London, Ontario, and the Thames Valley School Board, the teachers did a survey and asking about the mental health of the children, and the teachers said that over 25% of their students had some sort of mental disorder. So, and that wasn't the case when I was a kid. I mean, the kids around me were all pretty normal kids. And we see now that they're just so mentally unstable, that they're just not getting the foods that their nervous systems need.
Even to function at school, without incident, I mean, there's a lot of things going on at school that I kind of wonder, my word, you know, people are not learning. I don't think they're capable of learning because of their diet.
They don't have
the concentration or the interest, the curiosity.
No, they don't. And it's because they just don't have the proper nutrients to allow for the neurotransmitters in the brain to fire properly. They don't have proper adrenal function. They don't have the ability or the strength to kick out heavy metals when indeed we used to. And so their basic biochemistry is getting weaker and weaker every single generation. And I have a book it's dated in 1913.
Pam, hold that thought. We do have to take a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Did you you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shopik, and Dr. Sheely. And plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One-day passes, $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes, $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Pam Colleen, and she's an expert on addiction. She is the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And Pam, you were talking about a book just before we went to the break.
Yes, this book is very powerful. It was written in 1913, and it was written by a woman by the name of Louise Stevens Bryant, and it's called School Feeding. And she was considered at the time the world expert on school food for children. And what she noted was that if children had mood, behavior, or learning problems, that it was because of malnutrition, that the kids were simply not getting enough food such as meat and butter at home. And they would, you know, show these disorders at school. And so school feeding initially was set up to compensate for nutrition that they wouldn't have been getting at home otherwise. So when children had mood, learning, or behavior problems, these particular children were set aside and put in special schools. And I don't mean special schools in the sense that they were disciplined or what have you. They were actually using this time to feed the kids, to nourish the kids back to being mentally well. And, of course, this is with the absence of drugs. And this, you know, this tells me that 100 years ago, they had far more nutritional wisdom than we do today, because these children do not deserve to be given chemical constraints. What they deserve is to get real food.
Absolutely. Ah, that is interesting. And yet we have all been indoctrinated to believe that butter is bad and that there's too much fat in meat and there's a cholesterol hoax and all kinds of things that that have altered our food habits so that And we basically pass these down to our children, which is very unhealthy for them, particularly because they are growing and are more vulnerable to a lot of things, including the toxins in society and, of course, toxins in vaccines.
Oh, that's right. And unfortunately, the kids today are getting the brunt of this low-fat lie. And like I said, this is second, third generation potentially of all of the fat phobia, cholesterol phobia. And now what we're seeing is that our children are getting physically sicker and mentally sicker. And so we have to stop the tsunami from really destroying our youth today. And I mean, this is, I spend a lot of time educating parents, working with children who have, you know, a lot of these types of mood disorders. And you touched on, you know, the meat phobia there. It really infuriates me when I see these studies that come out demonizing red meat. And we know that, of course, there was one that recently was published, and it was extremely misleading. And so when I see new research that shows red meat is good for us, I kind of celebrate. I like to see that finally sometimes we can see in scientific literature the validation of things like animal fat and red meat. Now, I like this. There's a new study that was just published out of Australia, and the researchers actually set out to do this study to show that red meat was bad for us. And what they found out was that it was the opposite, that red meat actually decreases the risk of developing clinical depression. And they were using red meat, lamb, and so on as their you know, as their goal, is to say that these, they thought these foods were going to show more depression, more mood disorders. But actually what their study showed was the opposite. And the study was done with women. And so what they found out was that people, that red meat essentially halves the risk of developing depression. So you see, what is it in red meat that is causing the stabilization of our mood? And there are some very critical nutrients that are found in red meat that are critical for our nervous system. And so one thing that you can get in red meat that is very difficult to find elsewhere in other foods is something like zinc. Zinc is very it's very difficult to get enough zinc in our diets today, because we're, face it, most people aren't going to eat oysters, and that would be one of the best sources of zinc. But in mainstream, you know, for the average Joe, the best way to get zinc is by eating red meat. And so here we see, you know, by getting enough red meat in their diets, they had enough zinc, and that would have helped support their mood. Other components of red meat, of course, would be things like carnitine. If you look at the word carnitine, carne, right, it's in meat, and it's very important for energy, to produce enough energy in the body. So it's a very unique substance that you can get out of red meat that you can't get in other foods necessarily, or as much in other foods. And so it's very important to eat red meat in the diet. So important, I find it so important, that I won't work with people who aren't eating red meat, because I know it's going to be more of a challenge to help them get well.
And this would be particularly harmful if children did not get red meat, if they were, if perhaps their mother thought, oh, well, let's all become vegetarian. This would be very dangerous, very harmful.
Yes, absolutely. I work with a lot of recovering vegetarian mothers, and when they were pregnant, they were vegetarian. And it's so sad, Deanna, to see these cases, these children that come forward when their mothers were vegetarian. And I see the problems with epilepsy, learning disabilities, speech impediments, and so on. And unfortunately, these women became vegetarian because they believed it to be a healthier diet, and unfortunately have to suffer these consequences, and the children, of course, take the brunt of it. It's very tragic in my mind. I'm a recovering vegetarian myself. I became a vegetarian thinking it was going to help me overcome my chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, multiple chemical sensitivities, and so on, and of course it backfired on me and made me much sicker.
Oh, goodness. All righty. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Pam Colleen. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357, TexasReady.net. And remember, nothing good comes from a can.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Today is Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com. And you were talking about your own health issues as a result of your, well, as a result of the foods that you grew up on, and then you had decided that perhaps you would become a vegetarian in order to help you resolve these issues and found that it didn't work at all. In fact, it made you worse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I really truly believed that the diet was healthy, and so for the 9 years that I was a vegetarian, as I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker, I didn't connect the dots. I wasn't able to connect the dots at all because what I was being told was that the vegetarian version of a diet is healthier. So I kept thinking it was all these other reasons that were making me sick. And then finally, at the end of 9 years, I started craving eggs. Now, I was a strict vegetarian, so I wasn't eating things like eggs, and all of a sudden I started craving eggs, and I kept saying, why would I want to eat an egg? It's bad for me, isn't it? You know, and so I started eating eggs and gradually started getting back on animal foods, and that really, really helped me. But it's not just my experience, Deanna. I see this on a daily basis. I have people who come to me every day who were vegetarians or are vegetarians, and I insist that they go back to eating 3 square meals a day, and as soon as they do, they always report back to me that they're feeling better. And so it's a cause and effect. I mean, if you look back when we had 3 square meals as part of our culture, because face it, we were known as the land of 3 squares. And why is that? Because at breakfast we would wake up and we would have a bacon and egg style breakfast. And I use that term, you know, just as an analogy, if you will. And then for lunch and for dinner we had a sort of a meat and potato style lunch and dinner. And again, that's just an analogy. But I think people can get the point from that. And so before World War II, we didn't have meat phobia, we didn't have egg phobia, we didn't have fat phobia, we didn't have cholesterol phobia, chicken skin phobia. I mean, we didn't have any of those food phobias, and we were much healthier then than we are now. And it's just as clear as day to me now, but I couldn't have connected the dots when I was a vegetarian because nobody was connecting the dots. It was just especially back in the 80s and 90s, it was feverish, this move towards vegetarianism. And I didn't realize that, you know, really the birth of vegetarian has its roots in population control, that it was just a way, or I shouldn't say population control, but more so the overpopulation, right? Vegetarianism was a response to overpopulation. That's what it was a response to. It had nothing to do with health in as much as it had to do with how do you feed more people. And plant-based foods are easier to produce, easier to ship, have better shelf life, and they're more profitable than animal foods.
Wow. And, you know, I was a vegetarian also for about a year. My whole family was vegetarian. And, you know, I felt that as long as you got the proper amount of protein with, you know, via beans and that kind of thing, that it would be all right. But then, you know, after about a year, and this was during the time, well, I always ground my own wheat, made my own bread, made butter, yogurt, always got raw milk from the farmer down the street, had a garden, compost pile, I dried fruits, canned my own food, never used fake foods like margarine or anything like that. And so I thought, hey, we are being really, really healthy here. But then after a while, I thought, you know, I think we need to add some meat here.
That's right. And when people start going back to eating red meat, they usually report that they have more energy almost right away. You know, I tell people when I teach seminars, I tell people, here's the progression that tends to happen when people become vegetarian, is one of the first symptoms they start to feel is a loss of memory. Now, and they write it off. They don't think that it's a symptom because, oh, they just think they're getting older and this is what's supposed to happen. So they don't attribute it to malnutrition. And then they tend to have cold hands and cold feet, which is a sign that they're just not getting enough animal fat in their diet. And then sleep disorders start to follow, depression, fatigue, anxiety, right? Then you start to see more and more symptoms start to develop. And again, people are not connecting it to the diet. They'd rather blame it on environmental toxins, or they blame it on emotional trauma, which I'm not trying to minimize here. I'm sure that can be an issue. But it's just they just don't see that the diet is not sufficient enough to sustain their health. And, you know, this is something that when I go back and I look at and I put this in my book, Deanna, I don't know if you had a chance to see this section, but I talk about the Minnesota starvation experiment where they took several young healthy men and put them on a semi-starvation diet that would mimic a diet that one would have eaten during World War II. And it was more plant-based. It was a very heavily plant-based diet because during the war, of course, what is more difficult to get? It's going to be more difficult to get things like meat and butter. And so that wasn't in the diet. It was far heavy, you know, on the carbohydrates or plant-based foods like, you know, grains and fruits and vegetables. Anyway, so what they found within six months on this diet, that these young, healthy men transformed into basket cases, essentially, mentally, because they were so malnourished. Their brains were so starving of the essential nutrients that they started having cognitive and emotional disturbances, some of them very severe. A couple of the men were actually committed in psychiatric hospitals. One of them, I think, cut off two of his fingers or something along that line. I mean, they were just emotional basket cases. So the first symptoms of malnutrition are psychological symptoms. And just look at how psychologically messed up we are today. I mean, we have what is known as a bad mood epidemic.
Interesting. You know, my mother used to give me cod liver oil. I mean, we ate pretty well as children. I feel like I got a really good start. But now we see all of these sugary cereals that children eat, and you know what you say about meat and about people being able to think correctly and the problems that starvation diet, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And yet they don't attribute it to the diet. And certainly, that's probably one of the first things that a person should consider or a doctor should consider. But typically when you go to an allopathic physician, mm-hmm. the first thing that they are going to say is, oh, let me write you a prescription for something to, you know, I don't know, what kind of prescriptions?
Well, if a child were to come in with ADHD, of course, the prescription would be something like Ritalin, and a lot of children are given things like antidepressants as well. But there's two reasons for that, primarily, Deanna. One of the reasons is that doctors, if they write a prescription, then people are in and out of the office much faster, and they can see more people and therefore get paid more money. So that's number one reason. It's just a simpler way to get rid of a patient. The patient walks out happy because they feel like the doctor did something for them. And the doctor is happy because instead of seeing 40 people in one day, he or she may see 80 people in one day, which increases his or her salary. And another reason for it is because we have been brainwashed into believing that chemicals are a sign of progress. And this was, again, some very sophisticated marketing that came post-World War II, saying that, you know, if we didn't use chemicals, then we were living in the dark ages, essentially, that all these chemicals made us better as a society. Now, these chemicals we see, of course, in agriculture, right? And we see that brainwashing that was used in agriculture, that we need all these agricultural sprays in order to grow our food or produce
sure.
our food. And then we see the same propaganda used with the pharmaceutical industry that these chemicals are better than Mother Nature. And so today, people like myself and many others who are seeking out nutritional solutions, of course, what we have is the pharmaceutical industry threatened by the replacement or displacement of drugs and replacing it with what the true answer is nutrition. So they go and they do character assassinations going after anybody suggesting that nutrition is the answer. And very commonly, you know, they will just say that, you know, these people are all quacks. You know, like that's code for I work for Big Pharma, you know.
Sure. Now, if we are nutritionally sound, if we are practicing good nutrition, there's a good possibility that we would be able to avoid the consequences of the toxins that are in our environment.
Well, I think one easy way to try and minimize your exposure to these toxins in the case of environmental or agricultural sprays, is to get to know your farmer. A small family farmer is far less likely to use a lot of chemicals because they just don't have the money to buy these chemicals. And if you're really lucky, you can find a small family farm that doesn't use any chemicals on the farm or drugs for that matter. So I think if you want to minimize your exposure to preservatives, additives, aspartame, MSG, herbicides, pesticides, whatever the case may be. I think the solution really lies in the fact that you should be getting most of your food from a small family farm where these things, you'd be pretty hard pressed to find these substances on that farm.
And that's also important for meat, such as chicken and pork and all that kind of thing, is to get it from a farmer, from somebody who is growing it, grass-fed cows, for instance, or free-range chicken, to get your eggs and your meat from that kind of a farm, correct?
Right. And you want to go to the farm, and you want to inspect the farm. You want to get to know the farmer and his or her family, and you want to be able to see that the chickens are indeed outside, and the cows are indeed outside, the pigs, and so on. So that's essentially what you need to do because, this is the only way to fix the problem that we have today, is to make sure that we, as consumers, you know, resuscitate the small family farm and that it's being done properly. And that's, you know, that's I think that's what we see happening. We see this revolution going on in the countryside where city folk are going out to the country and participating sometimes, even in the production of the food. So they're going out and getting memberships at community-supported agriculture system. So it's a CSA membership system where people join a farm where they have by joining the farm, that gives them the right to buy the food from the farm. But not only that, what these people are doing is they're going out to the farm and actually participating in planting the fruits and vegetables, you know, harvesting, and it becomes quite a community, wonderful, feel-good type of sensation that the kids get involved, they get their hands in the soil, it's a lot of fun. And this is, I think, where we start to get back in touch with our food. We start to celebrate how our food is produced. And I think that's what's going to render a healthy society, and that's what has to happen. I don't see any other way.
Right, and of course the natural farmers, the people who have been supplying raw milk to people, are under such great attack. It's just terrific.
Yeah, well, we just had a case here, and there's a recent one in Michigan. I'm sure you've probably heard about, but we just had a case here. Where our food police, known as the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, were scheduled to come and slaughter 41 Shropshire sheep. Now, this is a rare breed of sheep, and there's a very long story behind it, but I'm just going to give you the bottom line. But the food police were to show up and slaughter these 41 sheep. Now, the long and short of whether or not these sheep were contagious with anything or sick with anything is that they were tested, and they were tested negative for scrapie. They were fine. But at any rate, so the food police showed up at 8:30 in the morning, and the sheep had vaporized. They had disappeared. Somebody had kidnapped them or sheep-napped them during the night. So I did a radio show with the owner of the sheep, who is, of course, a suspect, you know, because they're saying, you know, she contrived this story and then hid the sheep and found a way to get rid of them so that the CFIA couldn't slaughter them and so on. And she swears up and down that she had nothing to do with the sheep napping, that somebody had come in and basically left a note and said in the note that the owner of these sheep didn't have anything to do with the disappearance of the sheep, and that these people had said that we're taking these sheep into protective custody against the food police until something can happen to that the whole situation can be resolved and that the sheep will be okay. And so, and really, there was nothing wrong with these sheep, and they're very rare breed of sheep. But I had two lawyers on the show along with the owner of the sheep. And so they're going to do this. The Canadian lawyer, who's the lawyer for the farmer, is going to do everything she can to convince the CFIA to be more rational about this decision, because they don't want to see these sheep slaughtered.
Well, of course not. You know, when my children were very young, we decided, well, they weren't actually that young, maybe 10 and 12, and we decided that we would get a lamb. And that we would feed it, and you know, and then later have it slaughtered, and we simply couldn't do it. We love this little animal, and we couldn't have eaten it. I mean, it just wasn't possible that we could eat this little friend of ours.
Yeah, the thing about this case is that this is a rare breed, and there are very few of them. And because of all this type of culling going on, I think it was the farmer who said that we've lost something like 190 different breeds of animal because of this type of policy, you know. And so they don't want to see the extinction of this particular breed of sheep, and that's what is at risk here. So if we're not careful as consumers, we are going to lose lots and lots of variety in and among our food supply. I mean, people talk about diversity with fruits and vegetables, but we don't really talk about it with regards to our meat or our chicken, for example, or even our lamb. I mean, we have just one type of, or maybe one or two different types of chicken or beef or whatever that we eat on a daily basis. But what is lost when you reduce diversity, of course, is you lose the variety of texture, taste, and flavor. But also, if you're down to one type of species, and that, and let's say there is some sort of outbreak, then that species could be wiped out, like what happened with the potato famine in Ireland with the, with blight. And so it's risky to have just one variety out there. And that's what essentially is happening to us.
Right. You mentioned the potato blight. I mean, at one time there were something like 250 different types of potato. And they just simply reduced it to the point that there were just, you know, the particular type that they were growing was the one that was subject to blight. So it's a terrible situation. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute commercial break. We will be right back with our guest today, Pam Colleen.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Pam Colleen, the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Her website is pamcolleen.com. Could you tell us exactly what is an addiction? How do we know that we have one? What is it caused from? I know there are probably various reasons, but talk to us about addiction.
Yeah, addiction is basically, you know, something that you can't stop doing, even though it's very self-destructive. And it can be a substance. It can be a sort of behavior, like, you know, sort of more along the lines of what's known as a process addiction. And that would be things like gambling, maybe thrill-seeking, sex addiction, whatever the case may be. But there's something destructive to it. If it's not destructive or damaging to you, your health, your family, your career, then it's probably more of a habit, potentially. But an addiction is where you cross the line, and you're doing something that is very damaging to you. And some of these types of addictions are almost invisible. You know, there's something that some people wouldn't even notice with an individual. I have clients who are struggling with obsessive compulsive disorder, and very few people actually even know that the individual might have obsessive compulsive disorder. I have clients I work with who have terrible fear, that their whole life is controlled by fear. And that, too, I see as an addiction. And so there's so many different types of addiction. There's no way I could put a number on how many different types are out there. If something makes or derives a feeling of pleasure in the brain, that is what could be addictive. And that's why we see so many substance abuse addictions today, is because there are just so many substances that elevate our mood. And that, in and of itself, is a risk for developing addiction. But what predisposes us to addiction, there are several variables that are going to predispose us to addiction. One is just the sheer availability of all of the things that we're exposed to today that make us feel pleasure. And that's just, like, not just activities, but it's also substances. And because we have so many new drugs on the market, I think, the last time I looked, about 17,000 drugs on the market. Now, not all of those drugs are mood-altering drugs, but a lot of them are. And so that's a risk for developing addiction. This is that they're just available all around us, not just legally, but illegally as well. And so another thing that predisposes us to developing addictions is the fact that we have what I call brain starvation going on today, that we're just not feeding our brains properly to give us the good moods that we all deserve to have in the first place. And this is the element, when we see on the news, Deanna, and you've been seeing it a lot lately, is this news on the war on drugs. And this is why they will continue to fail in this war on drugs, is because they're not looking at the real reason why we're seeing so many cases of addiction today. You know, there's something like 20 million addicts in the United States. And the reason why they will fail in this war on drugs is because they're not saying to themselves, well, what if these people actually felt good in the first place? What if they actually felt energized, happy, focused, motivated in the first place, rather than turn to drugs to actually render those emotional or mental results?
Exactly. All righty, we do have to take our 60-second top-of-the-hour break for Station ID. We will be right back, so stay tuned.